anxiety is a huge topic in our world today because it's a huge problem. This is anxiety. In case you've never felt it, this is how it's defined. This is how Siri defines it. She says it's an emotion characterized by an unpleasant state of inner turmoil, often accompanied by nervous behavior such as pacing or nail biting. It is the subjectively unpleasant feeling of dread over anticipated events, such as the feeling of the imminent death. Then she goes on, anxiety is not fear, which is a response to a real or perceived threat. Fear is being afraid of something that's actually happening. It's not that, which is a response to a real threat. It says, whereas anxiety is the expectation of future threat. Fear is, I'm afraid because this is happening. Anxiety is fear of something that may or may not happen.
Worship Generation Radio presents Pastor Nate Gallagher of the Factory Youth, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Vero Beach. We are currently in a series looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. One of the things that we hear Jesus say in this sermon is, "You have heard it was said, but I say to you." Jesus is bringing a new message from heaven, and that message is the way that God's kingdom works and how we can be a part of it. And the kingdom of God is nothing like the kingdom of men. If we want to be great in his kingdom, we must learn to be the servant of all. Although this seems counterintuitive, it makes the kingdom of God accessible for everyone. And in this series, we are learning how we could be a part of God's kingdom. Here's Pastor Nate with today's teaching.
And I'm calling this message, if you're taking notes, I'm calling it anxiety. Subtitle, focus your soul. Anxiety is a huge topic in our world today because it's a huge problem. This is anxiety. In case you've never felt it, this is how it's defined. This is how Siri defines it. She says it's an emotion characterized by an unpleasant state of inner turmoil, often accompanied by nervous behavior such as pacing or nail biting. It is the subjectively unpleasant feeling of dread over anticipated events, such as the feeling of the imminent death. Then she goes on, anxiety is not fear, which is a response to a real or perceived threat. Fear is being afraid of something that's actually happening. It's not that, which is a response to a real threat. It says, whereas anxiety is the expectation of future threat. Fear is, I'm afraid because this is happening. Anxiety is fear of something that may or may not happen. The Bible defines anxiety simply as troubled with many cares. Anxiety affects over 40 million people in the U.S., which makes up for more than 18% of the population. $42 billion, with a B, dollars a year are spent on antidepressants due to anxiety. And upwards of 90% of doctor visits are due to stress-related issues. In fact, studies show that stress not only causes inner turmoil with the way you feel, but it actually causes real sickness. That you can get actually ill and get sick where your body is hurting and falling apart as a result of stress and anxiety. And everyday causes of stress are paying bills, getting jobs, passing tests, relationships romantically or with family, performances such as stage performance or athletics. One of the number one causes of stress is public speaking or the thought of public speaking. Fear of embarrassment in a social setting. Being late, that one stresses me out. I made my own list of things that stress people out. We stress about the past, we stress about the present, and we stress about the future, right? Like just in a nutshell, we stress about what happened a month ago, we stress about the things that we're going through right now, and we stress about what might happen tomorrow. But the Bible says we don't know what'll happen tomorrow. You might not make it to tomorrow. So there's another thing for you to stress about, whether or not you're gonna make it to tomorrow, for you to stress about that. And Jesus in our text is gonna tell us how to deal with anxiety when we're a part of his kingdom. If we've ever felt anxious, if we've ever felt stressed, if we've ever felt worried, if we've ever felt overwhelmed, Jesus gives us his solution. And the problem is the focus of our soul. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. You with me? All right, if you're not, it should be up on the screen. It says, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" And some of you are like, "I don't know. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." And it says, "Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is," I mean, it exists today, "and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek," in other words, the people that don't know God, they seek after these things, "for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But," here's the key, here's the focusing of our soul. He says, "but seek first," doesn't say second, he doesn't say 17th, he says first, "the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Jesus explains to us that as people that are a part of his kingdom, we have no reason to worry or be anxious. And he illustrates for us really the reasons why we shouldn't worry. And he tells us that God takes care of the birds and he takes care of the bushes. So how much more is he gonna take care of you and me? God's like, just think about birds for just a second. He's like, birds, they have food, they have a home. And I love this because it shows us that it's not just totally natural instinct. Obviously, God created them to be that way, but also God takes care of them. God takes care of their needs. He says the birds, God's watching over them and making sure that they get what they need. And he says also think about the flowers in the field. And the flowers that he would have pointed them to would have been on this hill, and they were known for sprouting up, and they would only last a very short amount of time. But they would look really pretty when they sprouted up, but they were also the type of grass that they were really flamboyant. And so people would take them and they would use them for cooking, and they would throw it in their fire, especially if they needed just a quick fire to start. They would grab these particular flowers and throw them in the fire because it was a quick light, it was super easy. He says, those flowers, look at how much detail is in them, how much God cares about them, and they last a day, maybe. And he says, how much more does God think about you? How much more does he care about you? But what Jesus does is he doesn't just tell us not to worry. He doesn't just say, hey, stop thinking about that. Don't worry about it. He gives us a replacement for our worry. And the change he gives us is a focus shift. He says, rather than focusing on our stress, he says we are to focus on our souls. That's what he says in verse 33. He says, but seek first. He's been saying, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. And he says, but instead of just not worrying, you replace your worry with seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek God's kingdom. Focus on spiritual and heavenly things rather than physical things. Because when our soul is healthy, our life will change. When our soul is doing well, our life will be going well. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, it says this, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." He says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. That seems like a thoughtful prayer to pray for someone, right? That everything you do prospers. Everything you do goes well. Whether it's your business, whether it's your activities, whatever you do, that it prospers. And your health, that you don't get sick. Great things to think about. But he says, just as your soul prospers. He prays that this person's life would prosper in the same way his soul prospers. So when your soul is right, it will be right in your life. It almost alludes to the fact that your life will only go as well as your soul goes. That your life can only be as good as your soul is good. And if it's not well with your soul, it's not going to be good in your life. Now, our world today, everybody wants peace. Everybody wants to remove anxiety and they want inner peace. Our whole world is looking for inner peace, but they have no idea where to find it. So they're attempting to fill their lives with all sorts of things in order to replace their anxiety. That's why they spend billions of dollars on drugs, therapy, meditation, distraction, relationships, all of these things in order to deal with the stress inside and replace that stress with inner peace. The problem is, it's not working, right? It's not working. They're spending all the money, they're taking all their time, they're doing all these things, and people are still stressed out, with good reason. I mean, you look at our world today, you watch the news, you do this, you stress out. There has to be something else for us to do in order to find peace and avoid anxiety. And Jesus tells us that the problem is our focus. And Jesus breaks down for us anxiety really into two parts. He says food. He says don't worry about food, which is provision. You could break that down into bills, food, house, school, anything that's provision, providing for yourself or providing for your future. Food, and he says that. And then he also says clothes, which I would say is perception or wealth or appearance or success. And he really sums up life. He says provision, which is everything that you're going to do to live now and prepare for your future. And also perception, which is how you look, how you appear, how you're doing, things like that. And he tells us to not focus on these things. Don't focus on it. Don't focus on providing and don't focus on your appearance. He says, instead, focus on God's kingdom. Focus on our souls rather than our stress. And he tells us when we put him first, he will take care of the details in our lives. Because God, he again, already takes care of the birds and the bushes, so how much more will he take care of us? But when our focus isn't right and our souls aren't right, everything else will be wrong as well. So what does that look like? How do we focus our souls and what will that look like in everyday life? Three things real quick. Number one, when your soul is right, your soul will affect your situations. Your situations won't affect your soul. What often causes our stress, or primarily the main cause of our stress, is our situations around us. Whether it's stress in a relationship, anxious about what will or won't happen tomorrow. And these things on the outside affect how we feel on the inside, right? No matter what the situation is, the things that are going on around us outside, whether it's school, work, relationships, family life, anything like that, outside things affecting the way we feel on the inside. But when our focus is on God's kingdom and our focus is on our soul and the wellness of it, we can have positive effect on the world around us rather than our situations affecting us. Christians often allow the world around them to affect how they follow Jesus. And because of it, our world will define who we are and our value. We often allow the situations, the world, to determine who we are as Jesus followers, if we are a Jesus follower, how we're going to act, how we're going to behave. And as a result, we allow the world to place value on ourselves. So the people at our school treat us bad, so we think we're no good. Maybe our parents don't value us like they should, so we think we don't have any value. Maybe our teachers don't think we're very smart, so we think we're stupid. And we allow the world around us to give us our value, and that causes us to stress out. But when we stop and we focus on the value that God has placed on us, we will allow that to affect our situations, not our situations to affect how we feel. Rather than focusing on what our teachers say or our parents say or the person next to us says or our classmates say or our coworker says, rather than focusing on that, we focus on what Jesus said. What did he say? Look at verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then he asks a question, which you know is a rhetorical question. He doesn't want to answer because the answer is obvious. He says, are you not of more value than they? The answer is like, yeah, we've got to be. Birds don't have souls, so they can't be of more value than us. Jesus is saying, listen, God takes care of every single detail going on in the world right now, and he cares about you more than anything else going on in the world. We can also look at verse 30 where he says, now if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Again, the same idea. He says, you are allowing the value that the world has placed on you to determine your value rather than allowing what Jesus has valued you as to determine your value. And when we know how God sees us, our souls will be strengthened and we won't be shaken by our situations. When we know how God sees us, our souls will be strengthened and we won't be shaken by our situations. And we will affect the world around us. We won't allow the world to affect how we feel. We'll say, I know my value. I know who I am in Christ. That you don't determine my value. The teacher doesn't determine my value. My classmate doesn't determine my value. My parents don't even determine my value. What Jesus has said about me, who he has declared me as, determines my value. And knowing who I am in Christ changes everything about my soul, even if nothing in my situation changes. But when our soul is right, we will begin to change our situations. And so when our souls are right, because our focus is right, we will change our situations. Our situations won't change us. Secondly, you with me? When our soul is right, we will trust God above our feelings. When our soul is right, when we've got our focus right, when he says, but seek first his kingdom, seek first his righteousness. In other words, make your priorities his priorities. Make sure that you're walking with God, that you're following him, that your soul is focused on eternity. He says, you will trust God above our feelings. And we sing glory.
That concludes the teaching portion of today's message. But before we go, here's Nate with his wife Hannah to talk about how we could put this into practice.
This message of anxiety just amazes me because it's incredible to think that God sent Jesus down to earth with so many messages, the message of salvation and forgiveness and eternal life. And in the midst of all those huge life-changing messages, he also comes to address anxiety.
Wow.
And I mean, we all deal with anxiety. Even if you don't consider yourself an anxious person, we all have days where we are anxious about something and feeling anxiety over one thing or another in our lives. And I love that Jesus recognizes that anxiety is a problem that we have here on this earth. And in this passage that he takes the time to talk about it is just amazing to me and just such a reflection that we have a God who cares about our day-to-day feelings and he wants to come in and help us overcome the anxieties.
Yeah. And it's crazy how practical he gets with it. You know, he talks about don't worry about your life. And he says things like what you will eat or what you will drink or the clothes you're going to wear. You know, the things that we absolutely deal with that causes anxiety now.
Right.
You know, we're worried about car payments. We're worried about rent. We're worried about whatever it is, you know, food, all of these things. And Jesus is like, yeah, I recognize that you guys deal with that, but let me give you the solution to your anxiety. And he totally changes it, and he says, don't worry about it. One, because God's going to take care of you. Right. We don't have to stress out. We know that God's with us. But then he gives us some practical pointers on how to overcome anxiety. And I love that the key is to focus our soul. The soul is the problem. And we've got to make sure that our soul is right, because when our soul is right, our life will be right. And so Jesus takes us down to really the root of it, and he gives us to seek first his kingdom. There's the soul shift. We're no longer focusing on earth, the temporary. And when we're focused on the temporary, we're stressed about life. But as soon as we begin to focus our soul on eternity and we're focusing on the kingdom of heaven and we're seeking first that, he says, all of these other things will be added to you. What other things? The things we're stressed out about. Everything that would cause us to worry and be anxious and overwhelmed with life. Jesus says, if you start focusing on the eternal, he's going to provide for us in the temporary. It's a pretty powerful thought.
Now, with all of that in mind, in our study today, you said that anxiety is a sin. We see Jesus make a do not statement about worrying. He says, do not worry.
Right.
And so my question is, why is it so important that we don't worry?
Well, obviously because Jesus said not to. But also because there's no power in worry. Jesus goes on in his statement and he says, which one of you can add anything to your height by worrying? He says, you can't make yourself taller by being stressed out that you're short. It's not gonna change anything. And so he just recognizes that when we're worrying, we're focusing on the problem rather than focusing on him as our solution. And so what happens is when we're so worried about the things of life, it cripples us from being able to be used as God wants to use us. We talked about when our soul is right, we're going to be able to change our environment. Our environment's not going to be changing us. But when we're so focused on what's going on around us, it's going to limit our effectiveness in the world. And so Jesus knows that worry is something that stops the believer. It cripples them. But when we're focused on the things of God, all of a sudden, we're going to have more faith in him. We're going to trust that he's going to provide for us. And when we're trusting him to provide for us, we can keep walking and doing the things he wants us to do. And so I think it's important, one, for our health. We know that studies show that worry physically, it hurts us.
Right.
But then also, more importantly, our soul. It keeps us from all the blessing and all the purpose that God has for us when we're worried about the things that are going on in our life. And so the solution, again, is to seek Jesus, turn to God, look back to him, seek first his kingdom, and all these other things will come back to us. And so we need to make sure that we're continuing to turn our attention back to God, off of our situation. Let Jesus be the provider. Let Jesus be the healer. We don't have to do any of those things. We just have to make sure that our soul is focused on him.
And when our soul is focused on him, then that's where we find ourselves giving God the benefit of the doubt, like you talked about today. Why do you think it is that so often we don't give God the benefit of the doubt? It seems like we're always rushing to assume the worst. Why?
You know, that's an interesting thought, and something, you know, I think it's partly because we have life experience. And a lot of times we judge our future, we judge our God by our life experiences. We think our circumstances, whether bad or good, is an indicator of who God is. When our day is bad, we assume God's bad. When our day is good, we assume God's good. And so much of who we project God to be is dependent upon how we feel and the situations we're in. But when our soul's right and we're focused on God, we know who God is. We know that God is a good God, that he's a loving God, that he's a gracious God, a merciful God. And so what happens is no longer are we dependent upon our situations to determine our outcome. We allow God to determine our outcome. And so what happens is we can begin to trust in him and we give our lives to him. And even in the middle of something that seems difficult, even in the middle of something we don't understand, when we usually would assume, man, God must have forgotten about me. God's busy doing other things. He doesn't really care about me. When our soul is healthy, we'll go, God is in control. He tells us over and over again that he is with us. He will never forsake us. He tells us that he will work all things together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purposes. And so when we recognize that that is who God is, we'll be trusting him in the middle of whatever situation we're in.
Thank you for listening to today's study presented by Worship Generation Radio. If you would like to listen again or hear more of Pastor Nate's teaching, visit us online at ccvb.net/thefactorypodcast. You can keep up with all that is going on with Pastor Nate or The Factory by following on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher or at The Factory Youth. If this message has blessed you, we would love to hear about it. Send an email to church@ccvb.net. Join us next time as we continue studying the Bible with Pastor Nate Gallagher. Glory to you.